Well, I'm so excited that you're all here today. If you are able, if you want to go ahead and stand with us, worship where you are at. We are so excited to see you. All right.
And so I'm not stepping over it because hospitals are real and I'm old. So, again, welcome. If you're watching from live stream, thank you so much for tuning in. Let us know who you're watching with and where you're watching from. If you're ever not in the house, you can't make it for whatever reason, know that you can always check us out online live. When you came in today, you got a few things. I'm going to touch on them. One of them is the connection card. This is how we can partner with you and celebrate with you or hear from you. and what God is doing in your life and what you might need. So if you have felt needs, if you have prayer requests, if you have things that you would like to celebrate with, you can do that right here using this connection card. If this is your first time here at Discovery, when you came in, you got one of our worship envelopes, and inside there's some awesome things for you to check out. This document right here says what's happening. It has QR codes all over it, so you can check out what we're doing as we start to enter summertime. I think maybe today we might get a glimpse of what summer looks like, but don't bet on it. And what you can expect today is we're going to go back into singing some songs and lifting God's name, and then Pastor John is going to come explain what this ladder is all about. So tune in for that. And stick around after today's service for our family meeting. If you don't know what our family meeting is, this is your opportunity to get a glimpse of what's happening here at Discovery Community Church. We talk about what we do with our resources, what our plans are for the rest of the summer. And so we'd love to have you be a part of that. So if you want to stay after service today for family meeting, it's going to happen right here after service. And right now, what we're going to do is, do you know that this year we're celebrating 25 years of Discovery Community Church? And so all this spring, we've been checking out people's stories about their connection and their heart for Discovery. And we've got one more video for you today. So let's check that out, and we'll get back into worship.
And my husband Steve and our kids were part of the plant team from Parkland First Baptist Church back 26 years ago. I was on the worship team with John, and I served in the kids ministry with Tracy, so I got to know them pretty well. And when they first started talking about planning a church, I was so excited because we wanted to be a part of it. But it was a Gen X focused church, and Steve and I were too old. So it was very disappointing. But I remember the day that, John called up and said that he had been convicted that it needed to be a multi-generational church and would we like to join him. And we were just so excited. When I was leading worship early on and we had to be up on the platform and getting, I would see people coming in that I wanted to just talk to. And so I think at some point I had to decide, do I want to lead worship or do I want to meet people? And I think meeting people was a little more of what I wanted to do. I never want anybody to leave church feeling like they've not been seen. And so I think God just planted that that desire in my heart to do that. And I've been to churches where nobody's ever said hi, and I just, to me, that's, I just would never want anybody to feel that way. Discovery in a word. I've been thinking about that, and you know, I thought, well, family, but then a lot of people would say family. I think I would say embraced. I feel like I get embraced by the messages. I think John does a great job in who he asks to give a message on Sunday, and I feel like the messages embrace me. The community embraces me. I feel embraced when I'm challenged to dig deeper into my daily quiet time. So I just feel like embraced is kind of a word that I'd like to use. I think there's always kind of been that that aspect of Discovery that it's kind of a fun place, you know, kind of a fun place to land.
Thank you, Barb. Barb, I love you. And everybody does. And I'm so grateful that you shared your story. Embrace. That's such an amazing word for discovery. I can attest to that. And I'm sure so many of you can attest to how discovery as a community has embraced you. Or I hope you feel that way, I should say. God is good, guys. God is so good. And I am so grateful for this community that he has put us all in. And that we get to support one another through all of the trials and tribulations, but also be there to celebrate with one another as amazing things are happening in our community. And I just want to invite you to stand and worship. Worship wherever you're at. Worship if you are in the depths of it. Worship if you are on the highest of highs, somewhere in the middle, because God is there with you right now, with wherever you're at within that scale. And if that means that you are sitting down and praying, if that means that you are jumping around and praising, all of that is worship. So please join us as we continue in that. You unravel me with the melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave. Child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Sing it out, church. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Say that again. I am a child of God. I am a child of God.
I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry. I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry. My agenda, I'm sorry. When I forgot that you're enough, take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Caught up in your presence. Just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else. just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. Just want you.
In you, Lord, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. Teach me, for you are a God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and your love, for they are from old. Don't remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. He instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, for the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction. Look on my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Don't let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. There's a lot of other things that vie for my attention and my allegiance. I have a tendency to serve things that only entangle my feet and my hands, my heart and my soul. I find myself sometimes serving the one who's stealing life rather than leaning into and trusting the one who gives life abundantly. And this morning, here in this moment, we have been reminded that Jesus, you are everything. Jesus, you are the provider. Jesus, you are the rock. Jesus, you are the shelter from the storm. Jesus, you are the healer and the sustainer. Jesus, you are the one and only Son of the living God. And there's only one place. There's only one place for me to be, and that is to be at your feet. Through the course of this morning, and as we worship in song or worship by opening your word, I'm asking that you would Help turn my eyes and my heart and my hands from things that only ensnare. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. If you have a Bible, I'd like to encourage you to open it to the book of Hebrews. We're going to be studying from the book of Hebrews this morning. We'll be looking at a lot of other verses as well, but this will be home for us. So if you can find the book of Hebrews, we're going to begin by reading from chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, "We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." I want to pray one more time. Jesus, I ask this morning that you would speak clearly to us and reveal to us your heartbeat. Reveal to us your heart. And may your heart not just be something that is clear to us, but may your heart be something that begins to infiltrate, infect, change, and transform our own hearts. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Welcome to Real ID. We're studying the book of Hebrews together, and we're talking about who we are. I'm going to move this, so sorry, worship team. This will protect me from great harm, okay? So we're talking about who we are, why we are, and how then should we live. That's what we're talking about these weeks, who we are, why we are, and how then should we live. That's what we're talking. We're talking about the human experience. You know, what does it mean to be human, and what does God expect of me? What does it mean to be a human being? What does God expect of me, and how should I live? And so this is a fantastic book in the New Testament called the Book of Hebrews, and it reveals a lot about the human experience. Now, before I get there, I wanted to tell you a little bit about me, is that I enjoy the outdoors. I love getting lost in the woods. Is anybody like that? Some of you don't want to be lost in the woods. You want to be in the woods. You want to get back out. I don't mind getting lost in the woods. I love being outside. One of the things that I do every year, or I try to do every year, is I like to go hunting. And if you don't like hunters, it's okay. I rarely bring anything home. So most animals are safe when I go to the woods. So, but usually in September, I try to go for a few days. I take a bow, and I archery hunt elk, and I've been doing that for a long time. I don't bring any elk home. I'm not successful that way, but I'm successful enjoying the woods, okay? So that's what I say. I'm a success at enjoying the woods, and I get to pretend the whole time that I'm hunting. So, but over the years, I've been hunting this one particular place, and it's become incredibly familiar to me. I know it like the back of my hand. When I first started hunting there, I did some research. I brought maps. I brought a compass. I wanted to know where I was, how to get back to my family. And so for a number of years, I'd carry that map with me long before we had these. I mean, they got great GPS apps on our phone these days, and you don't even really have to carry that map. You should, just in case. But I am so familiar with the places that I hunt that I don't really need that. It's become my place, my spot. In fact, where I hunt, I camp next to a river. I love the sound of a river. Anybody camping and hear the water rush by? Love that. So in the morning, wake up, you can smell the water. And then usually right after breakfast, I just hike from my camp to my spot. And I know how to get in. I know how to get out. Like I said, the map doesn't even come out anymore. It's my spot. And it's a great spot. I haven't shot anything there, but I always, every year, see elk in there. It's just this fantastic place. And so this one particular morning, just a couple of years ago, I'm in my spot. And as I'm hunting in my spot, something catches the corner of my eye. I'm like, that's weird. What is that? And I'm nowhere near a road. I'm nowhere near civilization. I'm just out lost in the woods. And I'm like, what is that? And so I make my way through the woods, and I make my way over to this tree. And on a tree in the middle of nowhere, friends, is a sign in my spot. And the sign says, private property, no trespassing. And I've shared this story one other time, so some of you might have heard a little bit, but I'm like, that's weird. What kind of yahoo would have put that here in the middle of my spot? And so I was like, I scratched my head a little bit, and then I looked and noticed about 80 yards away on another tree is a sign that says, private property. And I'm like, that's so weird. Now, I didn't change anything that I did that morning. I saw the signs and I said, must be some weird occurrence. And I didn't change where I hunted, how I walked, what I did. After all, this was my spot. And so I just had a normal day. And listen, nothing bad happened. Sort of midday, I left my spot and I met up with my buddy that I've hunted with for years. And I said, hey, curious thing happened this morning. I was over in my spot. And he said, what spot? I said, you know, my spot. He said, oh, you mean our spot? I said, well, okay, for conversation's sake, our spot. But my spot this morning. And he said, okay, our spot. I said, okay, our spot. I was in our spot this morning, and I saw on a tree private property. And like years ago, I researched this. Years ago, I mean, I'm in national forest land. I'm nowhere near anything. This is weird. He says, this is weird. And so throughout the day, we were just curious. And the next morning, we both woke up and said, you know what? Let's go check this out. And so the next morning, after breakfast, we went out. You know, instead of going to some other spots, we went to my spot, our spot, whatever spot he wants to call it. It's my spot. And we go out there, and we found not just two signs, but we found three more signs. And it looked to us like it made something like a pie shape, you know, in the land. And we thought, this is so really strange. And by the way, we didn't change anything about how we hunted. We didn't change where we walked, what we did. We were like, this is just strange. Maybe some strange kid came and just to mess with us, put this up in the middle of nowhere. And so we just went about our day. Now, about a week or two later, we're back home, and I thought, oh, I should research this a little bit. So I did a little bit of digging, and I researched, and I discovered that my spot actually isn't my spot. That somebody on the other side of the river owns a house, and they have a little sliver of land that extends across the river and has a little pie shape right in the middle of my spot. So I discovered that those signs didn't just appear randomly, you know. They just, not just as a part of natural selection and just evolution and poof, there's a sign. No, a person, a somebody placed the signs there, and that somebody had a design and a purpose keeping me out of what was theirs, not mine. And now this somebody has a responsibility. Today we're going to talk about an uncomfortable word. And it's called responsibility. In our series on Real ID, we talked last week about the book of Hebrews starts out first with who Jesus is, but then in chapter 2 in the book of Hebrews, we start talking about who we are as human beings. As human beings, we are designed by God. We are the image bearers of God, and that gives us, does anybody remember the word from last week? Value. You guys remember that? We're valuable. We're valuable because we're made in the image of God. And last week we talked about that the Bible does not distinguish value based on whether or not you've done something good or bad. In other words, in the Bible, you can be broken, messed up. You can have messed up your entire life, but it doesn't diminish your value in the eyes of God. Every man, woman and child, regardless of how broken they may feel or they may be, they are still incredibly valuable to God. So valuable that he sent his son Jesus for you. Isn't that cool? Anybody? I mean, you might not measure up to the people around you in your eyes, but in God's eyes, you're the apple of his eye. And even if you've screwed your life up, messed things up, he loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus for you. That is amazing. But it doesn't remove your responsibility. I'll say that again. It doesn't remove your or my responsibility. Now, we don't like to talk about responsibility. We don't like to talk about those things, unless, of course, we're impacted by somebody else's irresponsibility. Amen? Amen. I brought a little illustration. I do some other things when I'm not pastoring, and I help people in their houses. And this week, I showed up at somebody's house just for a little quick little job, and it required a ladder. And I don't know how you guys are, but ladders to me are really commonplace. I mean, I've been up and down a ladder thousands of times in my life. Anybody? Like, I don't even really think about it. It might be a little bit of exaggeration, but I might be on a ladder almost every day of my life. I don't think about it, super comfortable with it. Now, and I also sometimes do crazy things with ladders, okay? But for the most part, I try to be really safe. So I'm at this person's house, and this person needs a little job done, and so I bring the ladder out of the truck, and I begin to climb up the ladder. And by the way, it's not a risky thing. I'm not on grass. I'm not on dirt. I'm on a patio, friends. Like, it couldn't be any more level than where we are now. I begin to climb up the ladder, and I'm talking to the homeowner, and I get about this high, my leg's like this, and the homeowner says, wait, are you okay? I'm like, I'm okay. I do this regularly. No, and I said, it's okay, it's totally okay, and I get only this high. I'm not very high, okay? And I begin to work, and then before I even know it, my hands are up here, and I look down, and the homeowner has left where he is, and he's raced over to my ladder, and I look down. I don't realize it till he's right here. I look down, and he has gripped, not standing near it, just like in case, like, but the homeowner has got into an athletic stance and got one hand here, and white-knuckling this thing, and he says, I got it. Now, this feels a little awkward to me. Two adult males, and he's white-knuckling this thing. And I was like, hey, you know, I really am okay. And he says, it's okay. No worries. I got it. And then while I'm just doing a little work, he begins to tell me two stories. He begins to tell me two stories of friends that have died. One, a really close friend that died on a ladder this size. And so I stopped arguing with him, and I just listened, and I realized I was in this kind of holy moment, and I let him white knuckle this thing, and I got down off the ladder, and I packed it up, and I said goodbye, and I got in my truck. But as I drove away, I couldn't stop thinking about how this man's life was forever altered by a seemingly common, simple moment that was handled with some level of irresponsibility. And not just this man's life, but families and circles that were impacted by the lack of responsibility that someone took. Now you can pretend to run from responsibility. You can convince yourself that your life doesn't matter, what you say, what you do, how you act doesn't impact anybody. But you are missing out on the truth of the human experience. You, as the Imago Dei, are valuable. You're loved. Jesus came to die for you. And while all that is true, you still carry responsibility as a human being. The book of Hebrews goes on. In chapter 4 and also chapter 9, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Every seemingly simple, small, insignificant moment in your life and mine is seen by whom? By whom? By God. And we have a responsibility. Hebrews chapter 9 goes on. It says, just as people are destined to die once, and after that face, what's the word up there? Judgment. We are valuable. We're loved. God absolutely loves you. You're not an accident. You have made incredible mistakes in your life, and this doesn't remove the value that you have in God's eyes. In fact, He so deeply loves you, He sent His Son Jesus for you. But Jesus is coming. God's mercy does not remove your responsibility or mine. We are responsible for before God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. You and I are responsible as teachers, educators, employers, employees, moms, dads, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, neighbors, we all carry responsibility. And the book of Hebrews is inviting you and I to carry it well. How do we do that? How do you carry the responsibility that God has stewarded in your life well? Okay, so this is kind of a heavy one. I want you to take your Bible. You have Hebrews 2 open. I want you to open up to Hebrews 3. Hebrews 2 introduces us to responsibility, but Hebrews chapter 3 gives us some steps in how to live out this responsibility and to live it well. Now, we're not going to read the whole chapter right now. You can read it more later on, but we're going to focus on verses 7 all the way down through verse 15. I'd like to invite you just to read along with me. This is going to show you and I how to live my responsibility well. Hebrews chapter 3 says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Ouch. Verse 12. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. So chapter 3 here is inviting you and I to carry our responsibility well. How do we do that? Number 1, we carry our responsibility well by first softening to the wonder. All the way through Hebrews chapter 3, this phrase is repeated. Do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness. Don't let your heart get hard. Now, back to my first story today about the hunting story. I missed blatant signs. The sign said on the, what did the sign say on the tree? No trespassing, private property. I was like, wonder what that means. I can't quite figure that out. Now, why did I struggle? It wasn't because I don't know English. It's because I can read. The issue was my heart. I said it to you several times. I saw that space as what? My spot. I had done my research years ago, and I've already figured it all out. This is my spot. This is my place. I'm in charge of what happens here. I'm in charge of my destiny. This is my world. What keeps showing up in my sentences? It's all about me. And so I became blinded to the possibility that there may be somebody else in charge. And that's the beginning of hardening. When you start to think that this is my job, this is my house, this is my money, this is my family, these are my kids, and you stop being soft to the possibility that I may be on somebody else's property. Maybe there's a God. Maybe that God is actually in charge of this job, this space. Maybe this house doesn't actually belong to me. Maybe this job doesn't belong to me. Maybe this family isn't really mine. Maybe there's somebody else that owns this space. In the book of Ephesians, in the New Testament, it says they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Do you know that, I'm going to say nobody, and you probably come up with an exception to tell me I'm wrong, but let's just go 99.9%. Like, basically nobody wakes up in the morning and says, you know what I want to do? I want to blow up my life. Nobody gets up and says, you know what? I'm going to blow up this marriage. I'm going to ruin everybody's job today. You know, I'm going to destroy this business today. Nobody gets up and does that. You know what happens? Those big moments that we all hate and make the news, they're just the fruit on the top of a well-developed tree. Years and years and years ago, a decision was made to not submit, and a darkening took place. Little by little, day after day, they became darkened. It's like when you watch the sunset. If you sit and watch the sunset, you don't really realize that the sun is going away. You know, your wife will come at me like, why are you in the dark? You know, I'm not in the dark. I'm watching the sunset. And your wife's like, it set hours ago. The sun's gone. You didn't even recognize it. But you've been moving so far off the reservation because your heart isn't soft to the wonder of God. Proverbs says this, blessed is the one who always trembles before God. But whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble. You're not going to blow your life up by accident one day. You're going to blow it up by turning off to the wonder of God. And you might just walk around on that piece of property and nothing bad will happen to you today. And nothing bad may happen to you tomorrow. Nothing bad may happen the day after that, but you have planted a seed of rebellion against God in your life. And that seed will bear fruit in a terrible and awful way at some point in your life. God's invitation is to return some softness into your life, some wonder that God is here. The book of Proverbs says the beginning of, you may remember the beginning of wisdom? So the beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of God. You want to change your life? Get back to being in wonder over God. The second thing that we do to carry this responsibility well is we seek God's design. Okay, back in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 10, God says, "This is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways." In Hebrews 3:10, God doesn't give a list of all the bad behaviors. He just simply says this: "You have refused to seek my design for your life. You stopped asking, what is the design for my life?" In the first passage in Hebrews this morning we read, it said, "We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard, so that we do not drift away." Paul talks about in the book of Romans that there's a battle that's being waged inside of every one of us, that you have a soul that longs for God, but you have a flesh that what? Pushes away from God. Like everybody here, Romans 3 says this: all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is part of the human experience. You have a soul that longs for God, but you have a body that works against. Amen? You guys seen this? Okay. And so the reality is, if you don't do anything to push against that flesh, you're going to continue to move further and further away from God. So what does God ask of you? To seek him. Isaiah says this: "I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you." Some of you should write this one down. This is so good. Isaiah 48:17. God says, "I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go." God has a design for you. You want to know how to be a great husband? You want to know how to be a great wife? You want to know how to be a great parent or grandparent? You want to know how to be a great employer? Ask God. Psalm 119 says, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart, so don't let me stray from your commands." Later on in Psalm 119, the psalmist writes, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." How do you carry well the responsibility that God has given you? You seek his face through his word. God doesn't want it to be a secret. It's his intention to reveal. His word is a lamp for your feet and for mine. Proverbs 8 says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me." How do I live this responsibility well? Seek his face. And last one, number 3. Surrender to his salvation. In Hebrews chapter 3, down in verse 12, it says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the end." Here's the heart of salvation. Here's the heart of the story. You are designed by God. You're an image bearer of God. You have incredible value. You have made mistakes. You are broken. That doesn't diminish your value. He sent his son Jesus for you. To get things turned around does not require you working harder, wanting it more. It doesn't require your strength at all. It requires you surrendering to the power and the authority of Jesus Christ to come in and save you. Like, when we talk about responsibility, we have to be really careful here. You're not going to become a better husband because you say, "Dang it, I'm going to work harder, I'm going to mean it." You're not going to become a better employer by getting up and saying, I'm just going to work it harder. I'm going to learn more stuff and do it harder. You're not going to become a better neighbor, a more godly friend. You're not going to find yourself in more healthy relationships by saying, I'm just going to work it harder. I've messed up way too much. You're going to need a complete transformation from the inside out. Jesus answered them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The heart of the gospel is men and women recognizing their responsibility that has gone awry. I'm sick. I'm unhealthy. Like Isaiah says, all of my righteous acts really are like filthy rags. Every time I try to do it and get right and fix everything, I just make a bigger hole for myself. But when you get to that spot, come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I thank you that you came for me. Would you save somebody like me who's made this mess? And amazingly, he does. That's why in the book of Revelation, we talked about this last week, it says, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He stands at the door and he knocks. Not in the front of the homes of perfect people or put together people. He stands at the door and knocks on the doorstep of messed up people like you and me. And when we recognize that, God, I've messed up my responsibilities at that very moment, we are now in a place where Jesus can save us. This morning, I want to encourage you to respond to Jesus' invitation to come in and do a, what'd you call it a minute ago, Alicia? A makeover? Extreme makeover. Yes, all of those things. And I want to encourage you this morning to consider inviting Jesus to do something. I also want to ask you to consider that your life matters. That the decisions that you make, the words that you say, the man that you are, the woman that you are, impacts the lives of people. Some of the things that you deem simple and insignificant are not. Lives are being changed. Lives are being impacted. And there's nothing in your life that God doesn't see. And one day, you and I will all be held to account for how we choose to live. But first, we'll be held to account on how we respond to the invitation of Jesus. We opened this morning with Hebrews chapter 2. And I want to read just this one particular verse in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. It says this. How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? Jesus, thank you for, in full obedience to the Father, coming for broken people like me. We have a weird wrestle in our culture about responsibility. Our culture doesn't know what to do with this sin nature, and so we diminish it. And we attempt to run from responsibility and pretend that we can. The scripture is clear that as image bearers of God, you have also given us responsibility for how we live, how we act, how we walk, how we interact with people, but mostly a responsibility to how we respond to the invitation from Jesus to surrender to His leadership, His lordship in our life. This morning, if what we've been talking about is just connected with your soul, and right now you're thinking, what do I do next? I would recommend that you pray something like this. Jesus, I have been irresponsible. And I can't fix any of it. I'm asking that you'd save me in this mess. Jesus, would you save me? And I pray if there's some possibility of transformation that you'd begin it today. Jesus, will you save me? And friend, I promise that when you pray a prayer like that from your heart, He hears. And He moves and He acts and He transforms. I'm so grateful that you've heard that prayer in countless lives. And I'm believing that you've heard it today. In Jesus we pray. Amen. In a moment, I'm going to have some friends pass some baskets. This is our giving back to God time. It's an important time because generosity is an act of worship. And I'd like to invite some of you to worship through generosity. But it's also a way for you to communicate some decisions that you've made this morning. If you prayed with me this morning, I'd love to know it. I'd love to be in your corner. There's some really important things coming up. We're going to do a seminar in a couple of weeks on what does it mean to be a part of a church. We call it All In. I'd love to have you be a part of that. There's some great ways to get connected. That connection card's a great way to let us know some prayer requests. We'd love to know how to be in your court. So as those baskets are being passed, some of you, it's going to be giving back financially to God. Some of us in this room, it's going to be making a decision, sharing your prayer request. I encourage you to do that. After they come, we're going to sing a song, and then I think Bobby's got a couple of things to share with us. So anyway, thank you. Let's worship together.
so much. Thank you so much for joining us here today. I want to do three things. I want to invite you to All In on May 31st. All In is, if you're curious about Discovery, what it means to be a part of living out the God-given mission here, we have a two-session series, and that first session is May 31st, and more information will be here. So if you're interested in that, you can fill out your connection card. You can let me or Pastor John know. We'd love to get you signed up for that. And number two is there's a family meeting here today. It's going to happen at about 11:45. 11:30. Abby said 11:30, so it's 11:30. Listen to Abby. So it'll be right here. So what we're going to do is at 11:30, if you're interested in knowing, it's a family meeting. So just like you have a family meeting at your table, and you talk about what's going on in the family, that's what we're going to do right here. So we want to invite you, even if you're not a member of this church, you can hang out for family meeting. These chairs right here in the middle, we're going to leave those up. So if you're trying to help us, if you could leave these up, that'd be great. We love you. Have a great week. Bye.